The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 14, Gunatraya Vibhag Yoga, and we have seen the three gunas of the Prakriti, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Neither one is more important than other, but each one has its own characteristics. These are the three modes under which our mind can come. Our goal in spirituality is to purify our mind. Mind is part of the Prakriti. These three gunas belong to Prakriti, therefore our mind has these three gunas. Our intellect has these three gunas. So at time, mind is under a predominance of one or the other, and depending on that, our thoughts and our actions will be according to that. So the verse 20 concludes and says, Gunan etan atitya trindehi deha samudbhavan janma mrityu jara dukkhehi vimukto amrutam ashnute. Our goal is to get out of these limitations which are imposed on me by my body, my mind, my intellect. I want to be eternally happy. I want to be existing all the time. And I want to know everything that I need to know. So our goal is to get rid of the janma, mrityu, jara, and dukkha. Birth, death, decay, and unhappiness or sorrows. Bhagavan said it only happens when you go beyond these three gunas. Because we typically have seen, if I'm a tamasic, I want to be rajasic. If I'm rajasic, I'm a sattvic. But if I even stayed at sattvic level, I'm still bound by these gunas to this prakriti. These gunas are binding me to this prakriti called my body, my mind, my intellect, to myself. And then all the limitations of this prakriti, this my body, mind, intellect, I consider them to be mine. And therefore, janma, mrityu, jara and dukkha. If I want to get out of this, Bhagavan says you have to go beyond gunan, etan, atitya. You need to go beyond these three gunas. Then you will be liberated from these limitations. Having heard this, obviously Arjuna has a question. Like we all have, we obviously say, this is all hypothetical. Just not possible. I think it's good for an intellectual discussion. But in practicality, it has not really much use. Either I'll be sattva, I'll be rajas or tamas, but I'll be always in one of them. So Arjuna asks question 21, say, Kai lingehi trin gunan etan atito bhavati prabho. How can someone can get over these three gunas? What is the method? How do I do it? Kim acharaha, and let's assume that we find someone who has gone beyond this, how does he behave? So I can recognize that. It looks like that person is beyond three gunas. Kim acharaha, katham, chetam, trin gunan, ati vartate. And what are the marks? Kai lingehi. What are the marks of a person who has gone beyond this three gunas, you know? How does he behave in this world? And how did he do it? How did he come to that stage? This is what obviously we want to know, because we think it is not possible. So the next six verses are basically Bhagavan's response to Arjuna's question. We discussed that's our goal, to get beyond this mortality and limitations. Bhagavan said, you have to go beyond these three gunas. Our question is, have we met anybody? Is there anyone who has done it? So Arjuna, as our representative, asked the question. And Bhagavan responses in chapter and verse 22nd, where is his response? The last six verses are Bhagavan's response to this. And say, prakasam cha pravrittim cha moham eva cha pandava na dvesti sampravrittani na nivrittani kankshati. This three, prakash, activity, prakash the light, activity and delusion, moham. These are basically the manifestation of these gunas. We have seen the sattva is the light manifest in your internal instrument. Aha moment, I got it. Pravritti, well, let's go and do it now since we figured it out. And then at times it off, oh, everything is of no use. So these three, Bhagavan says, one who not dvesti, if I recognize that my mind is under this one of these three gunas, I don't hate my mind. See, we right away will say, well, then I have to start saying, oh, get rid of this tamas quickly. What? Get rid of this rajas. Na dvesti. Sampravrittani. He does not want to engage in it, but he does not hate it. Na nivrittani. He doesn't want to get rid of it. Because I am in a tamasic mood, I learned in Bhagavad Gita, tamas is not good, well, let's get rid of it. I'm getting sleepy, but this is tamas. Now, we have discussed last time, we constantly talk about tamas means laziness. Tamas also equates to all the sensual pleasure which I desire, is part of tamas actually. So it's a tamas when I'm getting more and more embedded into my body consciousness, is tamas. When a thought occurs in my mind, I right away start hating that if I have decided that's not the right thing to do. And Bhagavan said, no, na dvesti. One who is beyond these three gunas, he does not hate one or the other. He does not see that this is the weakness of the mind. It simply sees that as the nature of the mind. When I come in contact with an object, my mind will respond accordingly. You know. No matter how great a sage I am. You know. See, that's why in Ramayana, it says that Bhagavan Rama, when he has to kill Vali, he has to hide behind the tree. Even Rama could not kill Vali face to face, because Vali represents lust. And lust has a boon that whoever faces it, lust will get half of your energy, half of your strength. So I may have a great mental strength. When I face an object of lust, it will take away half of my energy. I'm left with only half. So Rama has to hide behind the tree so the Vali cannot take away half his strength. And then he can kill him. Otherwise, Vali had his strength plus Rama's half the strength. Rama will never be able to win over him. When we face the object of lust or any desire, one, that object has its own charm and it takes away my strength. I will succumb to that temptation. Therefore, I have to stay away from that, you know. So there Bhagavan says, but not dvesti. When that thought occurs, I do not hate my mind. Not dvesti. Na sampravrittani. Not I continue to engage in it. Na nivrittani. Not want to get rid of it. Just observe it in the third party, my mind. This is the nature of my mind, not myself. Na kankshati, does not desire to have that experience over and over again. So he becomes completely detached. If I am completely detached from something, I see it as a normal occurring. When I see some children doing something, I don't get overly engaged or overly disappointed. I see that's the nature of children. That's what they do. Because I'm not engaged in that. But if something I expect them to do and don't do it, then I'll be disappointed. So if I'm attached, I will flow with that. If I'm detached, I'll just an observer. I have to become observer of my mind, body, and intellect. And whatever the mood they are, I observe them and let them deal with it as they are trained, as their capacity is, and then move on from there. Let that thought come and pass. The transient thought, I know that. Something I get excited is also transient. Something I get disappointed is also transient thought. And I'll just let it go. So nadvesti na kankshati is the prescription for the one who wants to go beyond these three gunas. And then how does he behave? He says, one who has gone beyond that, the next few verses say, udasina avadasina gunayo na vichalyate. He is udasina. Now this is where I think, because our language is such that we have greatest difficulty. When say udasina, udasina, somebody is sad. In Gujarati it is. Udas kem che bhai tu, you know, why are you so sad? Udasina. Avadasina, unconcerned. And he does not move from where he is seated, you know. By the gunas, you know. Guna vartanta iti eva yo avatastati na ingate. He knows that this is the play of gunas and that does not move him. So if you just look at the translation, he said, he who seated, one unconcerned, is moved not by the gunas, who knowing that the gunas operate is self-centered and swerves not. That means he doesn't do anything. It basically says that I, seeing my mind and my body and my intellect acting in this world, depending on its own nature, if my nature is to be artistic, I'll obviously be tempted to go more toward the art. Or sports, I was invited to one of my clients' farm a couple of days last week. And we had about 9-10 people, all of them talking about sports. You know, who did which college football team is doing what, and they were taking out their, you know, their iPads and checking out. I had no clue what they were talking about because I have no idea about sports. I have no interest whatsoever in football. My friends tried to teach me when I came to this country football very, very enthusiastically because I was in Dallas. Dallas Cowboys were a big thing in those days. But I had no interest in it. So I will not be able, no matter how hard I try, because it is not the nature of my mind. It is not the nature of my intellect. I will not be attracted to it. He said, having understood this, I will not be disappointed if I don't get interest in sports. Neither will I get too excited because my mind goes to arts or cultural activities. And so, udasina, he became unconcerned about how his mind and intellect functions. Avadasina guneryo na vichalyate. He does not get moved by these gunas. His core self remains unattached with the workings of his mind. You know. Guna vartanti iti eva. He knows clearly this is the play of gunas. My mind has acquired these qualities because of my past experiences. Because I'm an architect, I'll always be looking out for architecture no matter where I go. I go for even a spiritual lecture or somebody. First thing I look at the ceiling and say, what this room is made up of? What do they do here? You know, if the acoustic sounds good here, you know, why can't I hear what he's saying? You know, is it my hearing or the acoustics in the room? You know, so. Because that's what my mind is trained over and over and over again for the last 50 years. So. And I, knowing that, I will not be too disturbed that I'm not paying much attention to the lecture. You know? Or I'll gradually say, well, here I am not to learn architecture. Let's pay attention to what's going on. Guna vartanta, it is the play of the gunas. Having known this, yah avatisthati na ingate, he remains firm in his conviction that the self is beyond these gunas. and therefore the play of gunas do not affect myself. Na ingate, he does not get moved in his conviction that the self is something other than this body, mind and intellect. And therefore the actings and workings of this body, mind and intellect is purely driven by the gunas of this. Gunas of my body, my mind, my intellect will decide or determine how I react to any situation. As I said, you know, we talk about all the time, if I have a tendency to eat sweet, no matter what doctor prescription is, I will go towards it and say, oh no, this is just a prasad, so I'm fine. Prasad is okay. Because my mind has a tendency. Now that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt my body, but it is again the nature of the body only, not myself. Having known this, a person who goes beyond guna will continue to function. This is where I'll stop. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.